Clear the decks for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The very best Medicare podcast in the whole wide world. If only he knew what LSMFT meant, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, howdy, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for that round of applause. It just makes me blush. Thank you very much for Drew McMillan's wonderful introduction, letting you know that it's me, Doug Jones, your Medicare expert for the day. You have joined the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. This is episode number 63, and we're recording it on May 21st of 2020. So once again, we get to the point in the show where I have to define the lazy man, because our newer audience members wonder why we're podcasting to a lazy man, or in my case, lazy ladies as well. These are the people that are approaching Medicare. They know they have to make decisions. They know decisions are important, and they know that they don't want to have to really learn anything about it. They'd rather have somebody else help them out, make the decisions for them, or at least lay out all the many voluminous facts and figures in a way that's palatable. Well, that's what we try to do here, is make Medicare a little more palatable and a little less scary for those people that are approaching that decision-making time of their life. And if we do it right, as is our goal, then they will never have to really think much about Medicare the rest of their lengthy, happy lives. But that involves choosing correctly when you first hit that magical age that you joined Medicare in. And I have said we, and the we that I'm referring to is Randy Carson, my personal advisor and spiritual guru. Hiya, Randy.
Hey, Doug, you're sounding really good today.
Well, that's fantastic. I wish everybody in my life thought that, but
you're in good voice and well, and all that good stuff. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
You've tweaked the knobs so that I sound well. The magic of electronics has solved the problems, and you're the master of the electronic problem solution.
The other thing I could do is make you sound like John Wayne.
Let's do that. Can we charge extra?
What, a pony soldier? Oh, no.
No, that's a politician. That's some kind of that's a presidential candidate.
But there you go. If you're a presidential candidate, for the most part, your mouth moves, but you don't ever hear what's coming out of it, you know, at the same time.
That's true, because they need some time to tweak the message.
That's right. That's right.
If you hear me start calling people pilgrims, you'll know that you inspired me to try to improve my my oral presentation.
Yeah, that's right. Pilgrims, it's always a good term to have in a political speech. Pilgrims.
Yeah, where the heck did John Wayne come up with that, though? I don't know what movie it was in. Pilgrim?
I don't even know. You know, given the fact we all talk about pilgrims as related to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah.
Does anybody know what a pilgrim, what does pilgrim mean? Somebody got lost on the way across the ocean? I don't know.
You got me. Yeah, wound up in a totally different spot because they were going to Virginia.
Yeah.
So, all right. Listen, you losers, you got lost, so we're going to call you pilgrims from now on.
Pilgrims.
See how you like that.
What pilgrims is that's old English for can't read a compass.
Yeah. Holding map upside down.
That's right. That's right.
You land in a place that you starve to death and you freeze to death. Thank God there were a bunch of Indians there to bail them out.
Yeah, they at least showed them how to make corn and catch a few turkeys.
Yep. And have a big party.
That's right.
Party time.
That's right. Everybody brought something.
Yeah. And frankly, I believe that it was the precursor to a feast that we enjoy more than just on Thanksgiving. We went to our neighbors who are supposed to be locked down. And we had Thanksgiving there a few weeks ago before they left to go back to their ancestral home in Maine. And it was pretty cool to have stuffing and turkey and potatoes and all that good stuff. On a time that wasn't, the end of November. So I think we had to do that several times a year.
I can just envision you and your wife sneaking across the cul-de-sac or the street or wherever you had to go for this clandestine Thanksgiving dinner. I can see you sneaking down the street in a ghillie suit.
I don't know what a ghillie suit is.
Oh, it's what snipers use.
Oh, yeah, with the...
Yeah, so they could look like a bush.
Yeah, it looks like leaves hanging yeah. draped all over. I think they made a few 50s monster movies with those things.
I'm pretty sure they did.
The worst 50s monster movie. I'm a big fan of Mystery Science Theater. Do you watch that at all?
I did, yeah.
Okay, well, I've gotten back into it because, frankly, it's all new to me. You know, my memory has recycled itself. So there was one just recently about an alien from a planet that landed and was wiping out all humans on Earth. Well, the guy who made the movie didn't have enough money to pay any actors that actually had metallic suits so that looked like they were wrong. And the name of the movie was something about the robot that, you know, killed Earth or something. So what they did was they saved a few bucks by putting this guy into an ape suit and making him wear a mask, a swimming mask, I think. It looked like a deep sea diver's helmet with a face mask. So here's a monkey running around in a helmet.
So this was an alien?
Yes, this was an alien, but he was supposed to be a robot, and they didn't bother to change the name of the movie, you know, away from the word robot. So it was like the robot alien that destroyed the Earth or something.
It looks a lot like an ape.
Yeah, exactly like an ape. I would have sworn he was a deep sea diving ape. And then I couldn't stop myself, intellectual curiosity being what it is. I had to research it, and I found out this guy was too cheap to get an actor that actually had a metal suit that would be robot-like. And also, they filmed about 80% of this movie in a cave that is in, I think it's the most used, the Wikipedia entry I read about this movie listed about 20 or 30 films that had scenes filmed in this cave, including my favorite movie of all time, The Searchers. Because at the end of The Searchers, John Wayne and the girl they're looking for is step-niece or something, and Jeffrey Hunter are being chased by Indians, and they ride lickety-split and jump off their horses and run into this cave where they can hold off the Indians until eventually the cavalry led by his son, Patrick Wayne, comes to save them. Well, I didn't realize it because that shot in that movie, my favorite movie of all time, is from inside the cave out. And mm-hmm. the monkey with the diving helmet on, that's all shot from the outside of the cave in. So you wouldn't ever know it was the same cave. But this cave was very prominently figured in a lot of movies.
Aliens. It was an alien ape with a diving helmet.
It was supposed to be a robot. But
since when do robots have hair?
That's what I'm saying. The guy should have changed the title of the movie when he realized he wasn't going to have anything that even looked remotely like a robot.
Diving apes from the outside the universe. I don't know.
And at the end of the Wikipedia entry, it had the magical words. It said, this movie is widely considered to be one of the worst movies of all time. So,
well, of course, you've probably heard the story about the Wizard of Oz.
Which story? There are a lot of stories about the Wizard
of Oz. Buddy Ebsen was originally cast to be the Tin Man.
But he was allergic to the silver paint.
They painted him up with silver paint made with powdered aluminum.
Yeah.
And it damn near killed him.
Wow. I did not know that he had a big reaction to it. I knew that he was sensitive to it.
Oh, he had to quit doing whatever he was doing. And the other thing that a lot of people don't know is, I forget her name, Margaret something, that played the Wicked Witch from the West.
Yeah.
Margaret something.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to leave her last name as a hanging chad until they look it up. But you remember that one scene in there where her broom, she basically kind of explodes into presence with a fireball and a broom?
Yes, I do remember that.
That was a real fireball, and it burned the heck out of her.
Holy!
She was scarred for the rest of her life on her hands and such.
Well, no wonder she was cranky.
Yeah, she got burned.
Jeez, I did not know that. I never heard that story.
She was supposed to be the good witch until that happened.
I did hear that many midgets were conceived during the course of the filming.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of midget happening on that. A lot of midget action.
Yep. But it was that's news to me about her injuries from the fire. That's bad.
Yeah, leave that as a hanging chat. I'll look that up.
Well, I started to do it now by turning my mic off, but then you ran out of things to say, and there was this long silence. And I
thought, this long silence.
I better get back to business.
Yeah, you know, in radio and podcasting, silence is a bad thing.
It really is. And in fact, in radio, if you've got a sophisticated set of equipment, it'll start playing music and stuff if there's a silence that lasts more than a couple of seconds. But that's not going to happen here.
We have nothing sophisticated.
Speaking of not being sophisticated, you may know that I spend a lot of time listening to podcasts. One of our earlier podcast episodes, I listed all the Medicare podcasts that are out there for people to listen to, and most of them are not very sophisticated. There's only one that I really recommend, I like very much, and that one is on once a week for 1 hour, and it comes from a radio station, and the quality is par excellence. But there's another one I listen to that's put out by a company that wants to offer Medicare products to every licensed insurance person out there. And so they're always trying to get more agents lined up to sell the products. And then they go out and they get contracts with a bunch of different companies so that these agents have a wide variety of products to sell to their clients. And it just, they hope it becomes a hugely successful enterprise of insurance. It's like an insurance fiefdom or empire. And these guys seem to be doing a pretty good job, but one of the things they do is they have a podcast. I'm hearing typing. Are you writing a book?
I'm looking up Margaret.
Oh, okay.
Now I got to find her.
All righty. Well, don't look up Margaret. Look up the cast of the, because all we wanted was her name, wasn't it? So you could IMDb the movie itself, and she would be figured prominently there.
You ever get to the point where, now I can't sleep nights because I don't know this?
I've never been that energetic about anything.
Well, I can't finish this podcast without popping up with that name, so I'll be right here.
All right, I'll be podcasting while you're doing that.
Okay.
So anyway, there are a bunch of Medicare podcasts out there, some better than others, and this one I listened to from this insurance FMO, it's a field marketing organization, is always very thoughtful and full of product information, but it's not aimed at the Medicare participant. It's aimed at the insurance agent. So I rarely have any reason to mention it during our little get-togethers. However, recently Randy and I did talk about the medical or the federal government and how there are just geniuses at creating bureaucracies and impediments to swift accomplishments. They don't like to do anything halfway when they can do it twice the way. And the example we used was when thalidomide became a problem, and there were a lot of babies born with horrible birth defects because of thalidomide. That gave the federal government, the FDA, carte blanche to set up a huge testing bureaucracy with a million rules that make sure that nothing bad will ever happen to an American based on the food they eat or the drugs they take. And it guarantees that the cost of drugs is just completely outrageous because the drug companies have to spend so much money and take so much time to thoroughly vet every concoction that they want to put on the marketplace. So during the course of that testing, people die and people suffer. People wind up having to pay a lot more money for a drug so that the drug company can recoup its expenditure. A drug company is basically just gambling. You know, they're rolling the dice, hoping that what they're working on will turn out to be valuable for people, effective, not harmful, and that it will be attractive to the marketplace, and then they got to go out and sell that thing. So here's the CMS, which stands for Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. There's supposed to be two M's, but they spell it with one M. So CMS is the part of the government that oversees the administration of mostly Medicare Advantage plans and drug plans, not so much Medicare supplements. And that's one good reason that I like to sell Medicare supplements. The government doesn't have their fingers as deeply in the pot when it comes to Medicare supplements. But they put out a big book every year that's a marketing guide. And this year, this particular podcast episode of the Agent Survival Guide was entitled, What a Medicare Agent is Not Allowed to Say During an Appointment. Now, I told you many episodes ago that if I'm going to talk about a Medicare drug plan, I have to have a form signed by the person I'm going to talk to. And it used to be, up until last year, you had to wait 48 hours in case they changed their mind. The government really thought that you were so dainty and so frail and so easily confused that first you would assign the form called scope of appointment, and then that would lay out the list of the things we were going to discuss, and no deviation from that list could ever be taking place without having to sign a new scope of appointment, waiting another 48 hours. So this is your government hard at work to protect you, the person who just wants to know what their Medicare options are. So every year, the CMS, same outfit, CMS stands for, once again, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. They put out a marketing guide, and I've got a list of the 9 things that an agent is not supposed to say during a Medicare appointment. Now, fortunately for me, most of this applies to Medicare Advantage plans, and I don't sell Medicare Advantage plans to my clients because I have too much respect for my clients. I know that they would be calling me back saying, what did you do to me? Why did you sell me this stupid plan? And therefore, I find it amusing that the government closely monitors what happens to an agent during an appointment when they're talking to their client. I don't know how they police this, but there are 9 things that they're not allowed to say. First, you're not allowed to say, I am a Medicare agent. Now, that may be factually true that you are a Medicare agent because you're selling Medicare products, but you're not allowed to say that because it might imply that the government has endorsed you or the products that you sell. So that's one thing that you're not allowed to say during your appointment if you're an agent talking about Medicare products to your client. Number 2, these plans are free. Now, some plans do not cost any money, but you're not allowed to say it that way. Particularly, Medicare Advantage plans often advertise themselves as $0 or $0 premium plans, but they're not allowed to say that they're free. Now, that seems like a pretty subtle difference to me, but what they're saying is that these plans always have out-of-pocket expenses. If you get medical treatment for anything, you're going to pay through the nose if you're covered by a Medicare Advantage plan. You're going to pay in the form of deductibles for various services, co-pays, co-insurance. And a co-pay is different than a co-insurance. A co-pay is a flat amount per treatment. A co-insurance charge is a percentage of the total cost of that. But they're reaching into your pocket all the time if you have a Medicare Advantage plan and you spend any time getting medical treatment. You're going to pay part of that cost. You just don't know about it. And up front, it sounds like such a good deal because often they don't charge a premium. Well, you're not allowed to say they're free. Number 3, this plan is the best plan on the market. Well, now, if anybody ever actually did say that, I would probably be skeptical. I would like to think that most people out there hearing that sort of a thing would be skeptical. But your government doesn't believe that you're capable of being skeptical. And so they make it verboten for the agent to say this plan is the best plan on the market, whatever that agent is selling. Number 4, this plan will cover all of your needs. That's another thing that just seems too good to be true. I would hope that the average Medicare participant would recognize that as just puffery and would understand that it is not to be taken at face value. But just to make sure, let's make sure the federal government promulgates rules that are punishable with fines and loss of license and, I suppose, jail time, maybe a firing squad. Number five, you can't say that something that you're trying to sell is Medicare approved. Even if it is, even if Medicare says, okay, this is these are the lists of plans that we allow people to sell, it seems like they're giving tacit approval to these products, but you're not allowed to say that because, once again, these clients might be too easily confused, which I consider to be really insulting. Number six, you need this plan. Well, they're worried that the client, the potential client, might feel pressured. Isn't it better to say, this plan is going to be really good for you because of this, that, and the other thing? Education is probably a better approach. So if I'm you and you're hearing an agent say, you need this plan, that's when I stand up and walk away. I just don't believe that your average Medicare participant is that frail and easily confused that a statement such as this is going to have any effect on them other than revulsion. Number seven, if you enroll today, I'll give you a free gift. That's called bribery, and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services actively discourages bribery. I say, if it takes bribery to get me to sign up for something, give me the free stuff. I'll happily take anything that you want to give me. And if I don't like it, it doesn't mean I'm not going to take the plan. The plan might be good or bad. It's going to stand on its own merits. Number eight, do you have a hospital indemnity plan or a dental vision hearing plan? You're not supposed to ask if the people have that because you're not supposed to talk about things that are not related to Medicare. These things are the dental vision hearing coverage, hospital indemnity coverage, not related to Medicare, so you're not allowed to talk about those things unless your scope of appointment lists them. And frankly, you could have a multi-page scope of appointment, I guess, talking about all the things that you would like to talk about, but the client isn't going to sit there and read all the fine print. So I would say the scope of appointment is pretty much meaningless. But don't worry, CMS, I have my file where I keep those things for the required 10 years. In fact, I'm going to keep them forever. So you ever want to come knocking on my door, I got a whole bunch of them for you. Finally, we're down to the last item that in the list of things that a Medicare agent is not supposed to say. I am accepting referrals. You can't ask for referrals. You can't ask for the telephone numbers or contact information that the client may want to suggest for you. The only thing you can do is take a bunch of your business cards and shove them in their hand and say, here, deal these out to your friends or relatives. And then they're probably going to go home and throw them away anyway. That's what I would normally do. You cannot ask for referrals because for some reason your federal government thinks that would intimidate the poor Medicare participant you would be bullying them or something. I don't know. I don't understand, but those are the rules that you have to keep in mind while you're selling. They call it compliantly selling Medicare Advantage plans and Medicare drug plans. So do you remember which number three was, Randy, on my list?
I don't.
Oh, you remember which one number seven was?
I don't.
Okay, that's probably the same as all other agents. let's ignore the stupid government rules, and if I get caught, I'll deal with it then.
I you know what it reminded me of, Doug?
What's that?
David Letterman's top 10.
Well, absolutely, except I was going from 1 to 9 instead of...
Yeah, and it wasn't nearly as funny as David Letterman. While you were going through that, though, I discovered the answer to my hanging chad.
Please let us know. Margaret?
Hamilton.
Hamilton, of course. Of
Margaret
course.
Hamilton. Yeah. But there was another thing that caught my attention during your rundown.
Your little dog, too.
And, well, you know what, probably another one that Margaret was famous for. I'm melting.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And your little dog. What was the little dog's name?
And your little dog, too. Toto.
Toto.
But she didn't say Toto's name. She just said, and you and your little dog, too. I think.
Yeah, everybody thought it said. Yeah, everybody thought she said his name, but she didn't. You're right. And your little dog, too.
And frankly, she put the dog in the basket, rode away on the bicycle, and the dog just jumps out of the basket and goes right back home. What the heck? You know, get some duct tape and tape the lid of that basket down so the dog can't get out.
You did catch my attention on something else, though.
Oh, what was that?
Okay. For some reason, I wrote down the notes, organic meat.
Okay. That's nothing that I talked about today during the podcast.
There was something that you brought up earlier in the podcast that reminded me that somebody that advertises organic meat always really irritates me because all meat, by the way, is what?
Organic.
Organic. So well, I think it was your comment about, you know, this insurance can, you know, cure your ills of the rest of the world, but I don't remember for sure. I thought it was really critical that I wrote down that term.
I have been known to take notes and then not know what the heck I was talking about later on. I guess this was an episode that you enjoyed. I somehow made it through college. I'm guessing you did too, but.
Yeah, I did.
It was, we lost that note-taking skill, didn't we, somewhere along the line?
I never really had it. Oh, okay. I depended on my memory, and you can see where that memory's going now.
Yeah, but, you know, back in the day, it was probably great.
Yeah, it was. I still do have a good memory for things that I do for a living, but Medicare isn't one of those.
I understand, and I don't blame you. I've heard your eyelids slam shut more than once during the course of these podcasts, and all I ask is that you turn your mic off so the listeners don't have to
hear
the
snores. That's right. That's when I'm looking up stuff on the internet like Margaret Hamilton.
Well, that's a valuable use of your time. The snoring part is the part that
snoring was bad. I know.
I'm hoping to avoid.
I know. I understand. It puts us in a bad light that we're not putting out outstanding, exciting.
Yeah, it's hard to call this stuff exciting. So the best we can do is let the audience know that we sympathize and we understand.
Exactly. We are out of time. Ugh. Again.
Well, we did have a good mailbag item last time. I haven't heard the results of the woman who is supposed to find out whether her doctor will allow her to take that hugely expensive drug in his office. And that'll solve a lot of her problems, if so. So I'll report on that at some point in the future. We'll consider that a hanging chat until then.
As well as organic meat.
Organic meat. Maybe that'll come to you. So keep your notepad with you. And next episode, we'll clear that up if we can. In the meantime, I want to thank people for joining us today, as Randy normally does. He's still worried about what organic meat really means. But I would like you, if you want to, go to Amazon.com and buy my book, either the paperback version or the Kindle version, which is an e-book, or the Audible version, which is for listening to. And you can get any of those at Amazon.com. And if you like the book, if you find it helpful, it'd be nice if you'd left a customer review. You can also get the book at barnesandnoble.com if you prefer, but not in the Barnes & Noble stores on their website. So other than that, we have the MedicareForTheLazyMan.com, a rich plethora of Medicare information, and we're slowly putting together the machine that will allow you, the listener, to go to the website, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com, and purchase your own Medicare supplement. But more about that later when we're ready to go. We're almost there. And then if you want to send us any mail, that would be dbj@mlmmailbag.com. So that's about all I had to say.
Doug, thanks again for joining us. Thanks for sharing your knowledge with us. As always, it's very interesting. I find it incredibly interesting, especially this David Letterman's top 10 in terms of the things you can't say if you're there to discuss Medicare.
If I read the list backwards, I'm sure it'll be absolutely hilarious. So I'll put it aside for a couple of episodes, and then we'll try it again backwards.
There you go. It may be funnier, but I don't think it'll make any more sense.
It'll still be a burden on all insurance agents everywhere.
I find it interesting that all the people like corporate America, insurance America, government America, thinks the average American human is just about one step above a slug.
It is unfortunate that we are all looked at by the bureaucrats of the world as retarded and in need of custodial care.
Yes.
So, you know, thanks, douchebags, but not me.
Thanks. Thanks, but no thanks.
Exactly.
So, we have just spent about 32 and a half minutes, haven't we, Doug?
I think that's exactly right. You're right on the money once more. So thank Doug you, Jones. Everybody, for joining us.
Doug Jones, and what are you? You are the anti-insurance guy with MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.
Bye-bye.